Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We read verses 1 to 3. We continue our discussions on supernatural success secrets. I have, I call it a grace from God to help people to succeed supernaturally with the grace of God. And the Spirit of God said to impart that grace on the house. In Psalm 1, the Bible says concerning the blessed man, in verse 3, whatsoever he does shall prosper. So for someone, the cycle of failure is broken. We live on a continent that is under a curse, literally speaking. It's very obvious. But when the blessing of God comes on your life, that blessing is superior to the curse. And then many of us belong to families that dabbled into the supernatural on the negative dimension, caught covenants with devils. And there are familiar spirits that want to enforce the times of those covenants, because covenants are transgenerational. But then I stand by the power of the Holy Spirit to declare that the power of the curse is broken. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. All right, so because we've had to skip two Sundays, today I'm going to pack it. Pack all those secrets, because I'm going to stop today in the fourth service. So the first secret that we discussed was intention. God's purpose for your life. We defined success as not just the acquisition of material things, but the achievement of God's goals for your life, because the dictionary says that success is the achievement of goals. Then we said that there's an ultimate goal. The one who designed your life had a plan for your life. He is the one who can define success for your life. On the day of judgment, many people will be surprised, because with all of their accomplishments, some of them even spiritual in the church, they will be surprised when God will say, you didn't make the cut at all. Okay? There's a difference between doing a good thing and doing the right thing. Fulfilling God's purpose for your life is doing the right thing. There are many good things we'll do that won't count with God. The man who made a lot of money and who succeeded beyond his expectations, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said that God spoke from heaven and said, you are a fool. Tonight your soul will be required from you. And then who will own all those things that you spent your life acquiring? So success for us is not impressing people. It's not doing better than the other person. It's discovering and fulfilling God's goals for your life. And then the second point that we discussed, the second secret, was vision. How to activate your imagination, because the dream, the picture that you see on your inside today will become your reality tomorrow. And the Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. We have the two CDs on that. Today I'm packing 10 of those secrets in the four services. In this service, I'll take two of them. And the first one is information. Information. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. It says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. One of the most important things you can do to transform your life is to value intangible resources over tangible resources. It's one of the most significant things you can do to transform your life and take your life from the state where success is unpredictable. Develop a higher value for intangible resources than you have for tangible resources. And this runs through many of the things that Jesus said while he was around. This is what Moses was saying here. God took you through all this wilderness, but remember, he's talking to former slaves. And he says, God took you through the wilderness, and there was an objective that God had in the wilderness before you would be able to enter your Canaan. He said he wanted to prove you, wanted to test your heart to see whether you would obey his commandments or not. Whether you would align with his principles or not. He said, and that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread, the physical, the material alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the intangible. When you have experienced deprivation, and I mean you've been deprived of money and material things, they assume an unrealistic value in your life. Or let me put it simply, you tend to overvalue them. When you've been deprived of money, you tend to overvalue money. When you've been deprived of clothes, you tend to overvalue clothes and shoes. When you've been deprived of transportation, you tend to overvalue cars. The big challenge that we have in our part of the world is the fact that we define success mainly by the material. So the person who has a bigger car is more successful. Okay? And the one that has a bigger dress. And it's keeping us behind as a people. It's keeping our culture behind by far. Because the most powerful resources are the intangible ones. The spiritual world created the material one. So when you value intangible resources over tangible resources, one, it makes you creative. And then it gives you dominion, helps put you in control and in charge. Because the spiritual controls the natural. Makes you creative. Hebrews 11 verse 3, for example, says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. That's Bible. That's Bible. It was the immaterial, the intangible that was used to construct the tangible. So, you must develop value for intangible resources. Makes you creative, puts you in control. When you are a creator, I'm telling you, you are in control. If what you want is not what you have, you can turn what you have into what you want. This value for the intangible made the difference between Esau and Jacob. To the extent that Esau wanted food and valued the food more than birthright, which was an intangible thing. Just a promise that someday in the future he would inherit the father's properties or blessings. Jacob valued the intangible, that birthright, what he couldn't see. He valued it more than his food. He used the tangible, his food, to buy the intangible and eventually dominated Esau. Okay, he bought the future with the tangible that he had. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, 15, 16, that you know that Esau eventually sought this thing with tears and he couldn't get it. His life ended up in regret. Okay? The most powerful intangible resource is information. Information. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In the broad sense, information is the most powerful resource in the world. It's my interpretation also of Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Those things that are not seen, he said, the word of God, information. So you look at it practically around the world today. It is the countries that have the highest quality of information that dominate every other country. You can't beat it. Genesis 1. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you look at Hebrews 3, you ask yourself, what did God use to create the world? It was information. This is very important. It was information. You know, our civilization has been evolving, developing, but we've come to the point now where we say it's the information age. Now. Because actually it was information that was used to create the world. So, what was Moses saying here? God wants to shift you. You, these former slaves, who had no access to education, you know, had no access, you didn't, were reading any books, you didn't get the best education in Egypt. God wants you to develop a new value system. Where, when you see money, or you see clothes, or you see houses, or shoes, you won't be doing, Because you've been longing for those things will follow. If you get the intangible, you will get the tangible. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word. Did you hear that? In a broad sense, information. Information is the foundation for transformation. Information. Information. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was what? God. So, it may sound heretic, but God is information. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The absence of information makes man susceptible to failure and to domination by the devil. Lack of information results in deformation. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, God said, my people are destroyed. For what? A lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. This is the challenge for the average African. You must develop a shift in your thinking. The path of God that the African likes is the mysterious path. It's the path that doesn't include mental exertion. Our definition of work in Africa is physical exertion. When somebody is moving and sweating, she's working. She's really working hard. But they told us during ESC, it's no longer hard work. Now it's intelligent work. The most impactful work you will do is mental work. If you do physical work after the mental one, your physical work will produce a lot of results. But in the absence of mental work, sir. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 10. He said, if the iron is blunt, then you have to exert a lot of strength. He said, but wisdom is profitable to direct. That's King James Version. New King James, he says, wisdom brings success. In the New International Version, it says, skill brings success. Then, Ecclesiastes 10:15 says that the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because he does not know how to go to the city. Your work will wear you out if you don't think. The quality of your life can be better than the quality of your thoughts. Information is the foundation for transformation. Okay? You've got to value information if your life is going to change. What does that mean, practically speaking? Fall in love with books. Fall in love with CDs, DVDs, and everything that stores information. Okay? Find access to information. Every day is given for improvement. I have a commitment. No day will leave me the way it met me. Why? Information changes you inside. Information changes you. You began as information. You were a thought on God's mind. That's where you started your existence. What? Listen, look at that verse again in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Why that comparison? What bread does to your body is what information does to your spirit. The way bread builds your body is the way information builds your spirit. Amen. You know, I always remember the story of the young boy who was murdered in London. And they cut off his head, cut off his limbs. It was only the torso floating down the Thames River. And the Metropolitan Police was called. They picked the body, still had clothes on, no head. It was practically impossible to identify the boy. Practically impossible. No limbs. But one of the things they did was that they took a chip of the boy's bone, okay, into the laboratory. And with that, they were able to analyze where the boy came from. Why? By analyzing the bones, they were able to detect the prevalent kinds of rocks in the place where the boy had been living. Precambrian rocks. They exist only in West Africa. In fact, they narrowed down the place where the boy had been living to 100 square kilometers between Benin City and Ibadan by analyzing the bone. Why? It's not mysterious. You think it's witchcraft. It's not witchcraft. Because once something becomes confusing for an African, they say, hey, it is spiritual. It is supernatural. It is not. Listen, the soil comes from rocks. Okay? And the food grows from the soil. Finish. This is your body. Where do you think it came from? Yam, beans, apu, amala, eba, rice. That's where your body came from. Okay? So, what I'm saying is, you are what you eat. Am I right? You are literally what you eat. And the Bible is saying here, the way physical food forms your physical body is the way information forms your spirit. The quality of your life or your spirit cannot be better than the quality of information you are taking in. And some of us sit down watching TV. We think it's cheap. And we allow people to dump junk into our spirit. And some people won't read the book in 6 months. You must value information. Amen. Fall in love with books. When you invest in books, CDs, DVDs, and so on, you are not just investing in the books, you are investing in yourself. Books changed my life. Information transformed my life. So, you will understand why we quote Joshua 1:8. We close our services with Joshua 1:8 in Esther. Every service. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want the quality of your life to be different and to continuously improve, you must never stop learning. You must never. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain unto wise counsels. The second secret I'll add to heart today is decision. 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 When we ask people to attend seminars and to pay for seminars, they think, what is it? It's value. It's a value system. If something is valuable to you, you will want to invest in it. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. Elijah challenges the whole of Israel on Mount Carmel. I love it. It says, and Elijah came to all the people and said, How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Amen. I stop there. Decision. There is power in a made up mind. Power in a mind that is made up. By your composition, your design, you will not realize your potential without definiteness of purpose. Definiteness, without being specific. You are wired for definiteness of purpose. Indecisive people don't make progress. And they can't realize their potentials. You've got to make firm decisions. In James chapter 1, if you read from verse 6, it says that if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask of God who gives liberally, and he should ask in faith, not doubting. Let me read it. James chapter 1. From verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, pay attention. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all. God has problems with a person who doesn't make decisions. You remember when you read in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, the letters that were written to the churches, the seven churches, how God spoke to the church in Laodicea and said, I have a problem with you, and it is because you are lukewarm. He said, you are neither hot nor cold. He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. In other words, God would prefer you make a wrong decision than you make no decision at all. Okay? He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. He said, and because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. God is frustrated by people who sit on the fence. Okay? Make up your mind. This double-minded man, he said, is unstable in all his ways. He should not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Success is a matter of choices, not chances. Choices. People who believe in luck a lot of the time don't make up their minds, because they are waiting for circumstances to change in their favor. One of the basic things I have seen around here is that many people have not decided to be successful. Many have not decided to be prosperous. That is, you make up your mind that I'm going to be prosperous. It's a decision. Your decision determines your destiny. Decision. Your decision determines your destiny. Indecision is foreign to God's nature and yours. And it will cause you to malfunction. When you don't make decisions, you become a victim of other people's decisions. See, not making decisions is like traveling in the middle of the road. You know, when you travel on the road, it's either you're on the right or you're on the left, but you should be on one side. Now, to travel in the middle of the road is risky. You will be hit by someone. Either by someone going forward or someone going in the other direction, you will be hit by someone. Some people are undecided. Have you met people like that on the road before? I've been driving for a few years and I've seen people like that. There are two lanes and they are going here and they are going here, and the best thing, you better slow down. They've not decided where they want to go or which lane they want to travel on. But people who are undecided like that get hit. And then people who don't make decisions don't make progress. They're like wheelbarrows. They don't go further than they are pushed by other people. When you don't make up your mind, people will make up your mind for you. Carry you along to fulfill their own plans and purposes for their lives and for your own. They said during the American Civil War, there was a man who was afraid of death. He was so afraid of death that somewhere along the line, he had this fantastic idea. So from one of the soldiers that they killed from the other side, he took the shirt. So he put on the shirt of the enemy and had the trouser for his own side. And his thinking was that whichever side he fell, or if he fell in the enemy's camp, he would pretend that he was on their side. You understand? But they said in the heat of battle, it so happened that people from his own side, somebody from his side saw him and saw only the shirt, which was the enemy's shirt. Somebody from the enemy's side saw only the trouser, which for them was their enemy. The two of them fired him at the same time. Listen, indecisive people are useless both to God and the devil at the same time. Make up your mind. Why don't people make decisions? Why don't they decide? Because they are not sure of how. Say, I want to be more prosperous. How much do you want? I want God to give me money. Lord, bless me in my finances. With how much, sir? Be specific. Mark 11:24. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, whatever things, specific things you desire, when you pray, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. It's not going to move. Nothing's going to happen until you are specific. How much? Write it down. When you decide on what, how will come to you? The way you are designed, your system, your spirit, your mind, your emotions are designed to receive. You are a receiver. Heaven transmits. You are a receiver. But you won't receive the how until you decide on the what. And I always share the story of Reverend Frank Gonzalez in the U.S., who for 2 years wanted to build a school. He wasn't satisfied with the state of education in Illinois State and wanted to build a school. And he was talking about it for 2 years until one day, you know, the question just propped on his mind. You've been talking about this thing for 2 years. He was telling himself, if only I could get $1 million. If I got $1 million, I would build a school. If I got $1 million. Then the question came, when will you get the $1 million? And then he thought about it. You know, he hadn't made a firm decision. So he gave himself a deadline, 2 weeks. I'll raise this money in 2 weeks. $1 million. He said it was as if everything had been waiting for him to make up his mind like that. The moment he made up his mind on the what and the when, the how came to him. At least an idea. He wasn't sure really if it would bring the money, but at least what he could do was to preach on Sunday about it. Okay? So he sent a notice to the newspaper house and they put a small advert in the newspaper. Dr. Frank Gonzalez. Preaching on the topic, what I would do if I had $1 million. He said he prepared and, you know, he wrote his sermon out, prayed over it, knelt down, prayed, went to church. And then he said when it was time to preach, he stood up, reached into his coat pocket. He had forgotten the notes at home. He said, but that was no problem at all. That was no problem at all. Because he had been preparing that sermon in his heart and mind for a long time. Okay? So, he preached his heart up. When he was done, he sat down. Somebody stood up from the back with his heart in his hand and came and whispered to him, Reverend, I believe that you will do what you said you will do if you have $1 million. Would you mind coming to my office tomorrow? My name is Philip D. Armour. Give me his business card. Dr. Gonzalez went on Monday. The man wrote him a check for $1 million. For 2 years, he had been talking about it. Nothing happened until he made up his mind on when. And then the idea came. And it came. Listen, what you are looking for is not far from you. Success is not far from you. The first thing is you need to make up your mind. There is power in a made up mind. Success, there is nothing like luck. You create your own luck. When you make your decisions, success again is not a matter of chances, it's a matter of choices. I believe that today for someone here is the turning point. Someone in this service, in fact, as I was speaking, you crossed the line. You know, everything starts from the heart. Once you make a small shift in the heart, your life shifts. I prophesy by the power of the Spirit of God that as you go forth from here, the power of the Spirit of God will be working on your behalf. New doors of opportunity open for you. There is restoration coming in somebody's life. Good news is coming to you this week. One phone call will change somebody's status. A document that has been lying there for years. Document that was meant to influence or impact your destiny, they forgot it. By the working of the Spirit of God, that document will come to somebody's attention this week. In the mighty name of Jesus, the vision that died is coming back to life. I prophesy a season of restoration in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's what he said. Whatever he does shall prosper. The cycle of failure is broken. In the name of Jesus Christ. From here on, whatever you touch, God will touch it on your behalf. Receive access to wisdom like you never knew it before. What you should do to fulfill that dream, heaven will deliver it to you now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray for the person in this service who says, Pastor Simon, my lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. Listen, that's where it starts from. Let God help you. You have an enemy called Satan. He wants to destroy all of God's plans and purposes. And since you are a central part to those plans and purposes, Satan wants to frustrate your destiny. Sin gives him opportunity to walk in our lives. But then, God sent his son to die for us on the cross many years ago. Let's ask him to forgive us. He will. And everything changes from there. If you are that honest person who says, Pastor Simon, my lifestyle is not right with God, I want God to forgive me my sins, can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I'd like to pray with you. A very short prayer. Right away. Can you please put your hand on your heart and God bless you. I'm asking you to make a decision. That's the starting point. The second thing. In case you've been born again before, you've been a Christian, but you have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes now, you're not absolutely certain you will make heaven. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Can you also put your hand on your heart, please? I'd like to pray with you. God bless you for your honesty. This is where it changes. All of us were born sinners. Not anything to be ashamed about. But one day you hear the truth like this, you need to respond to it. Can you also put your hand on your heart? God bless you for your honesty. If your hand is on your heart for this prayer, can you please stand by your chair where you are? We'll be done in 1 minute. Can you please stand? God bless you, ma. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Can you please stand? Your decision determines your destiny. The decision I'm asking you to make now will automatically shape your life 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. That's where my life began to change from. Can you please stand if you know you should be a part of this prayer? If you're standing, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters who are standing. And Lord, we believe that the blood of Christ has washed their sins away. Yes, Lord. Even that person watching on the internet, we thank you because their sins are forgiven. And their lives are changed and transformed. We pray that you reveal yourself to them. Let them know you. And let them serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name.